count basic joy and pain. Yeah. Hey, you guys remember that from Frankie Beverly and Mays, Joy and Pain. Yeah. Hey, I like that too. Count Basic is one of my new favorites that was picked out by the jazzy one, which will be on later this night, this evening rather, on Sunday Night Gold with yours truly, WB and the Jazzy One. And now it's time for, the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, how you doing? I've got everyone on. And Wooten Taylor, my good friend, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, William?
I'm terrific. Yep.
Awesome.
Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery, how are you, sir?
Excellent. Doing well. Just glad to be here.
That's right. And Mike Ward, a.k.a. Mad Mike. Hey, my friend.
I'm alive and breathing.
Hey, that's a good thing. That is a real good thing, alive and breathing. Hey, thank God for that. Oh, and we're going to have an exciting show. Dr. Sims, she texts me, says she'll be about 15, 20 minutes late. So she'll get a tardy slip. So don't worry about that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's got to go to the principal's office.
Yeah, yeah, to the principal. That's right, Ann. You can tell her, too.
Don't worry. I'm going to tell her.
I'm sure you will.
I'm going to tell big sister what you said.
Please do. And I'll back you up. I'm going to say, yes, I did.
Yeah,
I sure did.
You talking all that noise now.
I'm going to talk it then, too. Yeah. There's no shame in my game.
Keep talking.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on talking, too. Yeah. That's right. I know that every word can incriminate me. I know that.
I'm so glad we understand one another.
And I have no problems with it, counselor.
You have the right to remain silent, and you should probably use it, William.
No, I'm not using it, Mike. I don't care. I really don't care.
That is one thing that lawyers are stuck with. You never, ever, ever get one that figures out how to do it. You got to have a working brain to know how to have the right to remain silent. And I'm gonna tell you,
a working brain
out really early in life.
My brain works.
AJ is a natural born lawyer, so he doesn't know if he want to be a prosecutor or a defense attorney.
You know,
he just tapped on Alex all the time. So when Alex was a very young child, he realized if I'm just quiet, AJ may talk me out of this. And very often, AJ could talk Alex out of the trouble he just got Alex into. And so Alex knows that just don't say nothing. Even if AJ tells on him, just be quiet. Let's see if AJ will fix it. Then if he doesn't, slap AJ.
He's going to slap his own lawyer. Oh, my goodness.
Right,
oh, my
right,
God.
Right, oh, right. But William, you're the hard-headed client.
Well, guess what? If I can't do that, I can't remain silent and be a host of this broadcast at the same time. So those two do not work together. All right. Anyway, you can tell your sister anything you want. And guess what? I will agree. I said it. Now what? Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on to it with the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, we've got several topics here. We probably won't get through. We may not even get through two of them. We may not get through one. Hey, did you guys know that drinking tap water can make you gay? Did you know that?
Stop lying, will you?
I didn't say it. Look, I did not say it. Okay.
Who told you that?
Look.
You've been listening to QAnon again.
No, I don't. You know good and well. I do not follow QAnon. I do not follow. But you have some fools out here that believe that stuff. Okay.
I know.
You got some fools to believe that. We're going to talk about zombie laws a little bit. Maybe a little bit about banned books, especially in Texas.
Zombie laws?
Zombie laws. You know what zombie laws are. Those are laws that.
It's real.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, absolutely. Look it up. Zombie laws are those that. Those ancient archaic laws that were created back then that are no longer enforced, and some states have banned them. However, some states still have them on the books, and I have an example.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
The retroactive laws that came into play when Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Oh, my goodness. Banned books. We're going to talk about that. Texas and Florida. You know, and we're going to be overall talk about the dumbing down of society. And I believe that there are forces out here that want the society to be as stupid as possible. I really, really believe that. And we're going to talk
about control them.
Hey, that's right.
If you dumb them down, you can control them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to talk about that book that you're going to write too, Mike.
The Masses of the Asses.
That one.
I think Ann has inspired me to do that.
Well, great. Praise the Lord.
Oh, speaking of which, that was an outstanding program a couple of weeks ago when you were on Ann's broadcast. As a matter of fact, it was one of those you said, man, I wish this thing didn't end because I wanted to hear more. And anytime you can hear a broadcast or whether it's TV, radio, or whatever it is, and you say, look, I want more of that, you know, it was really, really good. It was really good stuff. Okay. Now, also, I'm tired of people saying guns don't kill people. People kill people. Then let's say cars kill people. No, cars don't kill people. People kill. Okay. That's stupid. Okay. You can't tell the gun to fire and it will fire by itself. Somebody got to pull the trigger, okay? You can't tell the car to run over somebody. Well, unless it's a Tesla, okay?
I'm about to say, those automated cars have been hitting people for years.
Oh, we're going to talk about abortion rights, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. Okay. Now, before I get into that.
Oh, man, you're going to get us in trouble
now.
Oh,
I know. I know. That's what I look for. You know, I live for the trouble. Yep. Like it. I'm going to try to see if I can do this. Our brilliant engineer and technical advisor and the person who designed our website, my grandson, Caven, he showed me how to do this. And I'm going to try to play this clip here. We're going to get into something. Okay, let's do this. And, oh, also, we're going to talk about can AI... We already know the answer to that. Spy on citizens. Huh.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. I don't want that one. I want this one. Okay. Let's share this right now. Let's see if we can make this work. Okay. I need some volume here. Okay. Here we are.
Not surprisingly, saw some pushback from GOP lawmakers. They want to continue penalizing
Now, can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Be right back.
Habitation before marriage.
The punishment is up to a year in prison and a fine of up to $1,000. The crime? Lewd and lascivious cohabitation, aka people living together out of wedlock. Gasp.
The law in question states any unmarried man or woman living together can be sentenced to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine. Of course, the law is from 1931, and it doesn't hold up in a modern society. And that's even before you take the LGBTQ community into consideration, which the law obviously does not. But with Democrats taking control of the Michigan Congress last year, they're looking to update some things.
This legislative session is the first time in 40 years that Democrats in Michigan have been in control of the state house and the state senate and the governor's mansion, and they are using their newfound power to do a little legislative spring cleaning, shall we say. They are getting rid of old zombie laws that just don't make sense anymore here in this 21st century of ours. And you would think this one would be unanimous. It is not. Today, again, in the year 2023, 9 Republicans in the Michigan State Senate voted against repealing this law. 2 Republicans even gave floor speeches about why laws like these are necessary to promote what one of them called, quote, good morals.
9 Republicans oppose purging this particular law because they're not actually the party of preservation or conservation. They are the party of regression. Now, keep in mind, by the way, that this law isn't actively being enforced in the state of Michigan, so keeping it around isn't really making much of a difference anyway. But according to some Michigan Republicans, these laws are necessary to promote good morals, whatever that means for these particular Michigan Republicans.
I have to imagine the statute was enacted in order to encourage marriage, which is a good end, through an unjustified means.
Republican State Senator Thomas Albert said that he merely objected to the possibility that unmarried people would get the same tax benefits as married people. That's actually funny because in our modern era, a lot of young people don't really see the upside of getting married anymore. The only tangible benefit to getting married that anyone can ever come up with is for the tax benefits, and even that isn't a very hard sell. That line of thinking also speaks to, let's call it marital exceptionalism, the idea that married people deserve benefits over unmarried people, that married couples are somehow better than unmarried couples. But the reason why one would think that married couples are better than unmarried couples is rooted in religion. So it's not really a surprise that both religious affiliation and marriage are declining amongst millennials and Gen Z. The religious reasons for getting married are obvious. You have to be righteous in the eyes of God. You can't engage in premarital sex, even though younger people are often choosing to delay marriage until their 30s and 40s, once they've gotten their degrees and stabilized their incomes. But if living in sin isn't a concern for you, there are so many other reasons as to why one would choose not to get married. In full disclosure, I am an unwed millennial woman who lives with a man that I am not married to. I'm not completely against the idea of marriage, and maybe one day I will get married. But my personal reasons for doing so are just that. They're personal. If and when I get married, it won't be because my government is making me do so. And it certainly won't be because I somehow feel immoral or less than in the eyes of someone else's God by remaining unwed. With modern marriages, you can usually split them into two aspects. You have the religious ceremony with the religious leader of your choice, and then you have to sign the papers, the government documents. Some people today choose to forego the religious aspect of things and instead focus on cultural traditions or non-denominational practices. Or some just do the religious stuff regardless of how convicted they are or are not in their religious beliefs, or how invested they are or are not in their church. I actually went to a wedding recently and a Japanese girl was there. She had been living here in the US for a while, but this was her first American wedding. And before the wedding started, she said to me, "You know what's so funny about Americans? You're not religious, but you do all the religious stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, we do." Anyway, if you remove the religious side of things, the governmental aspect on its own offers some societal and financial benefits, which is another argument that people will make when telling young people to get married. There is discussion as to how society and individuals will suffer from an increasing number of unmarried people. But if that's the case, then the solution shouldn't be to pressure people into marriages. It should be to adjust and adapt the systems that are already in place to better reflect and benefit the modern American populace. But that's a lot of work. Better to just force archaic beliefs on a population rather than modernize. Better to preach about good morals while members of your own party protect and revitalize institutions like child marriages and child labor. Better to waste taxpayer time and resources with culture war grifts rather than actually serving the public in a meaningful way. What's the big picture here? The Republican Party celebrates and pedestals people who have no business serving the public. The Republican Party jams legislation through that they know isn't popular even among their own constituents. The Republican Party talks about Christian nationalism like it isn't a fascist doctrine. They baffle Americans with their obvious and unapologetic hypocrisy, essentially gaslighting an entire nation by saying one thing and then doing another. They claim to want to protect the children, but only from drag shows, not from guns. They claim to champion family values, but they'll gladly look the other way if not defend serial cheaters, misogynists, and abusers. What's happening is that they know their platform is unpopular. They have access to the same numbers and stats and polls that we do. They know that the nation is in trouble, but they also know that it's not for the reasons that they say it is. They know that the solutions they offer to problems are dumb, and they know that the problems they choose to focus on aren't actual problems. How much energy and time and money did they spend peddling the big lie without a single one of them presenting any credible evidence to support the claims they were making? How much stress and anxiety did they knowingly induce in this country with their gotcha tweets and their rally stump speeches? And we all sit here scratching our heads wondering, don't they know they're out of touch? Don't they know that they're unpopular? Of course they know. They literally don't win popular votes. They know. And they don't care. The only thing they care about is winning by whatever means possible, even if that means emotionally manipulating and exhausting the public with culture wars and inflammatory speech, systematically dumbing down the population with educational interference and book bans, or blatantly limiting people's quote-unquote inalienable rights by professing higher moral standing and religious privilege. Videos like this one that call them out for being hypocritical or being out of touch or whatever don't matter to them because they're not trying to appease me. They don't get embarrassed, they're not humiliated, and they don't even care if we see through them. They're not trying to be inclusive because they want exclusivity. They want an empowered upper class. They want minority rule. They want whatever form of government that is, but it's certainly not a democracy. And the Democrats need to fight harder. All right, that's it for me. If you got anything out of this, please like and subscribe.
All right, we're going to stop it right there, and let's get back to our panel and the discussion here. All right, let's do it. Okay, folks, I'm going to just start my section off or segment off with, I am not anti-marriage. Okay, I just want to say that. And those who are married, I think that it's a beautiful thing, especially if you have two people that love one another, respect one another, okay, in sickness and health and everything that goes along with it, I think it's perfectly okay. Now, recently, I saw a disturbing video. I'm not going to play that, but it was Mike Moon, a lawmaker out of Missouri, suggests that even 12-year-olds should get married. Now, I think that is absolutely ridiculous, and I'm going to give you some other information. And the facts are all over the place, and it's a little cloudy because the first recorded marriage, according to what I researched, it goes back beyond 4,300 years ago, 2,300 years before Christ. Before Christ, 2,300 years before Christ. So you have to look at it. And the very first originators or the original marriages, they had little to do with religion. If you guys do your homework, again, I'm not anti-marriage. I think it's a wonderful thing, especially if you have children. I think it's important to have the healthy respective or perspective of a man and a woman living together under one roof and they have children. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Some people choose not to get married and I don't think they should be persecuted for it. I don't think they should be condemned for it. I think their lives are theirs. In other words, mind your own business.
Right. Oh, say it again. Just say it one more time.
Mind your own business. Ooh,
praise the Lord. It's like a song. Just a beautiful melody.
Really? Okay. I want you to start with that. And then going back to these ridiculous people, I don't know where they come from, that says it's okay for a 12-year-old or 12-year-olds to, get married. Now we know.
They're pedophiles. What man wants to marry a 12-year-old girl? A pedophile.
A pedophile.
These are people, the people who are saying that the Democratic Party is filled with pedophiles, those are the very people, in case you hadn't noticed. That's why Mr. Epstein has some help dying in his cell. I'm sorry. Allegedly has some
help. Boy, the lawyer in you came out, didn't it?
Right. I mean, it was a little too convenient. You got all these rich friends who have these connections to you, and then you've got all these allegations of sex trafficking, and you're in a jail cell, and suddenly you decide that you're going to die. But anyway, it was absolutely a huge coincidence that he died in that cell instead of implementing his friends, Trump, and all those other people. Including what was the prince somebody over there in England?
Was it Charles? Was it Charles at the time?
No.
It was one of his sons. I don't remember.
Charles's brother.
Seems like it's
Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew. But anyway, these people really do need to take a history lesson. Because if you ever just, read the history of the United States, you will find out that a lot of the people who immigrated over here were running from religious persecution and they wanted religious freedom, which is why it is enshrined in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights that we get what? We get freedom of religion. We don't persecute anybody for their religion. But not only that, if these people were really Christians who read the Bible instead of choosing certain scriptures to use as a whip against people that they don't like, they would know that God himself has told them that a religious state is not going to work. If you don't believe me, start from Genesis and read all the way through the Bible. He established the nation of Israel, took them out of Egypt as slaves, established an entire religious nation. This was what they did day in and day out. Their entire world revolved around the synagogue and the religious leaders. And if you fail on the wrong side of the religious leaders, guess what? You weren't allowed in the synagogue. You basically were kicked out of society. And when Jesus came and saw how unfairly the religious leaders were towards the masses of people, how they were such hypocrites. I mean, they would put all these different rules and laws on these folks, and then they themselves were breaking them. They themselves, for instance, one of the one of the things that happened that I love, because it's such a good illustration, the woman who was caught in adultery. They dragged her in front of Jesus because the law said to stone her, right? Because she was caught in adultery. No mention of the man. Well, who was the man that was with her that she was having an adulterous affair with? Where is he? And so Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that's the thing. You've got all these people. We want to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene and the allegations against her of cheating on her husband. She's now divorced. But I mean, you got these people standing on their so-called morality, judging so many other people. But the Lord has already told you, if you are sinless, then fine. Go ahead and judge them. But none of us are. And I think if they read this particular parable, they would all get somewhere and sit down. And it's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In other words, the Lord is saying, look, I'm the only fair judge here. I'm the only one that loves all of you just the same. I'm the only one who won't drag a woman out of bed but leave the man to stone her. I'm the only one who's not a hypocrite. So you just mind your own business. let everything grow together. Live and let live. And when the time comes for judgment, I'm going to be the one to judge. I'm going to be the one to say, these are the people who are cast out and these are the people who get to go with me. But obviously you have a large group of people that haven't heard this parable, that haven't read the Bible to know that God's already told you these things. Otherwise, we would have folks who appreciate being able, like the Israelites did when they were free, to worship in freedom and let other people live their lives the way that they want to. Because if God himself gives them the freedom to do that, who are we to take it away from?
Absolutely. It makes no sense. Absolutely. Mike, I'm going to go to Mike right here. People really should mind their own business. You know, seriously, and we're talking about the Tennessee Senate and how these two brothers, they were kicked out of the Senate. They were reinstated, but they were now, you know, the irony of this whole thing is that the legislator who really got that engine to going, started that fire to burn, I found out this week that he was accused of stalking and harassing one of his aides. Matter of fact, he was sending her sexually explicit messages, and he wanted to offer her some marijuana gummies to medium and all this, and she told him to stop. Now, this is one of the same guys. See, these hypocrites, they really get on my nerves, Mike. They want to chastise you, me, all of us for what we're doing, yet they have some huge skeletons in their own closet, and they're so stupid because they don't know how to lock the closet. It's getting out. The information is getting out. And these guys, I'm just wondering, how dumb are they? How dumb are they? Because everything's being recorded these days. Everything's being recorded, and it can be used against you, counselor, right? And it can be used against you. And so now this guy has recently resigned. But, Mike, I want your take based on everything that we've said so far, and I'd like to have your own take based on the conversation. People should mind their own business.
Well, you know me, William. I have no perspective on this whatsoever.
Yeah, I know you don't. Okay, stop joking, Mike.
So let me start with Tennessee. There's two things about Tennessee. Number one is I am a huge fan of freedom of speech. Mm. You can have your perspective on everything, and you have the right to voice your opinion, right, wrong, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. You should still be able to voice your opinion here in America. Mm-hmm. Number two, with regard to Tennessee, you have to do it in a respectful, appropriate, for the situation manner. And what they did, as I understand it, and if I'm wrong, you guys correct me, they brought in bullhorns into a place where the speech was protected and you had a right to speak, but you had to take your turn. You had to do it in a respectful manner. They overstepped their boundaries. So should they be, should they have a finger waved in their face? Probably. Yeah, because everybody should be able to voice whatever their opinion is. But you have to do it within the confines. Otherwise, you have nothing but chaos, which is what William and I have on Thursday nights for music.
Yeah.
It's controlled chaos for music. But that's the appropriate place. They're in their Congress in Tennessee, they overstepped their boundaries. So they should be sanctioned to some degree. But again, I would defend their right to say what they said. So I have two opinions on the whole Tennessee thing. While we're at it, you've heard me talk many times about life, liberty, and a pursuit of your own happiness. And I think that's appropriate for all of us here in America. Your life, your liberty, your pursuit of your happiness should not be infringed upon by anybody. As long as you're not hurting yourself or hurting others, leave people the fire truck alone. If you understand me.
The fire leave truck. I like alone, it.
Okay. You know what? I live in the hills of Redlands. I've got my horses out here. I got burros, wild burros that wander onto my property. I have like probably 35 in my front yard right now. People might say, Mike, that's wrong. You shouldn't own horses. You shouldn't, they're stinky, nasty animals and we need to control you. So you can't have horses. You can't have a dog. You can't, stop it. Stop it. It's my life. I'm not hurting my horses. I love them to death. I love my dog, Guinness, who's over there sleeping on his own. He's got his own couch, by the way. Leave people alone to pursue their happiness. This is my happiness. This is my Disneyland out here in the hills. That's why I bought this property, so I could have my Disneyland when I walk out my door every day. So leave people alone. The third thing I'd like to address is whatever laws, policies, practices you want to institute on Americans, or even, I would even expand it to the world. Are they doable and are they reasonable? There was a law, a zombie law that was on the books in some of the states where you were allowed to beat your wife with a stick as long as it was no bigger round. Let me get the picture here. As long as it's no bigger round than your thumb.
Stop it.
That was a zombie law that really existed. Look it up. Wow. So they said that the man of the house is the ruler and the king, and you can beat your wife with a stick as long as it's no bigger round than your thumb. Mm. That's a zombie law.
It most definitely is.
So life, liberty, and the pursuit of your own happiness. Are what we're implementing in society, is it doable and is it reasonable? and leave me and my horses alone. Thanks, William. Exactly.
Dr. Demery, I'm curious about your take on the situation.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much where William and you are in this. That yes, I think that we need to let people live their lives. They need to be left alone. And like Mike said, as long as they're not infringing on anyone else's rights, I mean, you know, leave people alone. You know, sure, I get couples that come to me all the time that want to get married, but they don't want to go by some of my guidelines for marriage. Like, for example, I have to go through marriage counseling, a set of marriage counseling that I have, you know, a lot of respect for, and I think it's effective. But a lot of times they don't want to do that. They just want to live, well, can you just marry us this weekend? Well, no, I'm not going to do that, because I want you to be able to go through, if you're going to be married, you're going to go through a certain criteria that I believe will help you in your marriage, you know, not defeat you. So the point being is, if they just want to go ahead and live together, I don't have any problem with that. You know, I mean, sure, I think that, you know, there are, like Mike said, some zombie laws that are, you know, old and antiquated and should be thrown out of the books. But my thing is if you're going to go by a certain set of guidelines, and you need to go by the guidelines involving, and most of the ministers that I know that marry people will require them to go through marriage counseling. And just the one that I use has a workbook. They both buy it, and they work through it. And then there's a leadership guide where the minister goes through, and he doesn't import any of his or hers moral or ethical or spiritual or religious information on that. This is really kind of benign, but it does allow you to have some good communication skills, work out issues that could be red flags down the road. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They just want to, they end up going to somebody else because they don't want to follow the guidelines. So if you're going to do it, I mean, do it right. If you're not going to do it, well, then, you know, you're free to do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's kind of my take.
Well, you know, if you want just a quickie marriage with nobody asking questions, go to the Justice of the Peace. They don't care if you take, you know, marriage counseling or not. You can get that taken care of easily.
In a lot of people, Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Las Vegas aren't having any problems doing marriages. Mm-hmm. That's what they pack. I mean, you got to get a number to get married there. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're called like the marrying thing. You know, so the issue is not whether or not you're going to go by a certain set of guidelines. It's whether or not you want to follow a particular order or not. That's really what it's down to.
And the truth of the matter is, especially among those people who are just absolute hypocrites, they themselves probably shacked up at some point in time. Not to mention, I remember one of the senators, I remember he was against gay marriage, and come to find out he was at one of his the gay marriage ceremony for one of his children.
Right.
I can't remember his name. So it's like you are guilty of these same things, or at least, you know, in your whole family, you know, you have someone who's dealing with this. And so you want to outlaw people shacking up. You want to outlaw people,
you know, and what's even, you get a preacher that'll get up and start talking about homosexuality, whatever, and they themselves are in a homosexual relationship.
Yep. You have. Yeah, that.
I would go back to doable and reasonable is what we're trying to put on society and demand of people. Is it doable? Is it reasonable?
Right.
Well, you know, it's that same thing, like Reverend Demery said, where you have people who are preaching against homosexuality, but who are practicing homosexuality, and not those ministers who are, you know, preaching against adultery and their girlfriend sitting in the church with their side baby, you know, side chick kid. These hypocrites shouldn't be the ones who are in charge. And I believe that since you have a majority of people who do not agree with them, that there is no way that they should continue to be empowered. It's amazing that they're not winning the popular vote and yet they're still the ones who are controlling legislatures in their home states and making these archaic laws, that they're still a majority of them in the House of Representatives. We need to do something about gerrymandering. And I hate to say it, but we really do need to have a vote on, you know, making an amendment to the Constitution about the Electoral College, because unfortunately it's not working out the way that the founders intended worked out. It's causing us a lot of problems. We're losing a lot of good leaders to what you might consider a zombie law. I guess it had good intentions. They had good intentions when it was created, you know, in the beginning, but now it's not. And to address what you said, Mike, before we turn over to Dr. Sims, thanks for joining us, lady. I truly think that those young men, who protested in the Tennessee legislature were doing exactly what our ancestors before us had done. They engaged in a type of civil protest that didn't hurt anybody, but brought attention to the fact that your voices, meaning the Republican Party's voices and the NRA's voice, is so loud that it's drowning out common sense, logic, and reality to this situation. And so in order to be heard, we're going to shout above you. And if that means we have to take over the legislature with a blowhorn in order to do it so that you will hear us and make some changes, that's what we're going to do. I applaud them for what they did. It was necessary. As a matter of fact, we need more of that going on right now, because there are way too many episodes of gun violence. I know you guys were watching the news this last week about these idiots shooting kids for making simple mistakes. And these weren't assault rifles. We're talking about people shooting folks with regular old handguns. It is getting out of hand. It's like a virus that's spreading. But Dr. Sims, thank you for being with us. What do you think?
Oh my goodness. And forgive me for being late. I was battling with asthma attack this morning.
Oh, so I hope you're feeling better.
I'm getting there. But anyway, I was listening to the broadcast, trying to get my stuff together here. But
William, you shouldn't have bullied her in the coming on. I bet you did.
No, I did not.
I'm giving his props there. He said he was going to start some class today with him and Dr. Demery. Don't do it, because I'm still not that sick.
Anyway. Okay, but he was talking crazy before you got on, talking about you going, what did you say, William? You said you were going to fess up. What did you say?
Oh,
what is it?
She was going to get a late slip.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about you and your little piece of paper.
But she's going to get written up.
Right.
Ask me if it mean anything. Hello, you and Dr. Demery, both y'all. My don't tell me, and you're a wise man. Hello.
Okay. Told you I was going to tattle.
Yep, I knew you were.
Look, well, I didn't say anything about black pepper. I said nothing about black pepper.
You know what? I can't say it right now. Anyway, I'm going to pray for you. But anyway, listen, I was listening to the dialogue, even I was looking at, William, you put an insert, you know, this is our baby. We're talking about relationships now, and you all were dealing with marriages and what have you now, and also the ritualistic practices. Can I just backtrack a little bit what you guys were talking about? I was listening. I'm like, wow. And religious practices has messed up a whole lot of people, because sometimes they falsify laws. They falsify things through religious practices when it is really of no avail. My thing is this, is that marriage is honorable, folks, and the bed is undefiled. It is what it is. The problem I'm having is with people who want to get married to children. That is just a straight up pedophile. That is sickness. That's of the devil. I don't believe he ever sanctioned that at all. I think God is wise enough to know the age when one can marry. Not a 12, not 11, not a 13, And to me, not a 14. I know they did it back in the day in the country, the cowboys and Indian days and all that kind of stuff. But a child is not mature during that age time. And she is not fully developed. We just have men that just, I just say retarded. You know, leave it like that.
So, pedophiles.
Well, I'm saying retarded, and I said pedophile. They're freaks of the week, and they don't want to. What they don't want a real woman who can help in controlling their emotions. We got some folks that prey upon the vulnerable. A teenage girl, a 10, 11-year-old girl, is very vulnerable. Her mental capacity is not as such as an adult. Her rationale in making decisions as an adult, she cannot. So guess what? What they can slap her around at that time, okay? Mm. They can control her. They can lock her in a room, okay? They can just utilize her to clean the house, have sex with no really ties to the child because she doesn't know how to love. She works out of obligation. And I'll say that a lot of women are working out of obligation too, all right? But also you have to be careful who you yoke yourself up with because you got some retarded men. Okay, William, I don't know why you started this because we've been talking about this. We've got some immature men and women, okay? I put them both in the same boat. That's why the Bible says, be not unequally yoked. You better know who you with. And I heard you say, people sitting in the church, you know, pastors up there, got, you know, you got pastors who are trafficking children. You got a, I had a story of a pastor, William, I'll pass that on to you, where they prostituted their own children, ages 4 and 5 years old. They had pastors, they picked them a chicken dinner, okay? This is pastor and his wife. Chicken dinner and fed them and then told them, this child is in this room, this child is in that room. The mother and father's rationale is we got to pay the rent. So you prostitute your children. That is the devil. That has nothing to do with God at all. That is the devil. And that's why when you said, Ann, about them up there preaching and ministering and, you know, going to preach you to hell, and they either got Johnny on the side, I'm just being real, or they have Sister Sarah who takes up the tithes and offerings, okay? Mm-hmm. And so these side pieces, and there was one man who died five blocks from his residency. He's in a hotel room. What you doing in the hotel room? What happened? The side piece left him in there to leave him alone. He died like a fool. Okay? Alone. His wife was 5 blocks away from the hotel. And so these are the travesties, and God does not send them in there. That is the devil's work. We forget that a devil, Satan, has transformed himself an angel of light. He's got his own hirelings to misappropriate the word of God. It is what it is. Let's call a spade a spade. And that's why you cannot have soul ties with individuals. And the way you get soul ties is through sexual interaction, okay? Being how do you say that? I can't say certain words.
Promiscuous.
There it is. And so you get soul ties because you don't know where Joe been. Joe been around the corner with the Sister Sarah, and he got about 50 million demons, okay? So you got a doorway open. I don't know if you want me to go this deep, but it is what it is since we're talking about it. Then we got people in the White House are sick, okay? They doing every damnable thing they can. Democrats and Republicans. I'm not going to just put it on one because they all stinky as far as I'm concerned. They all stinky and they doing their crap, okay? And so some of them getting caught in the young men you all talked about, that they shut them down. What happened with the young men, and I heard when they first started, was that, guess what? They started breaking down the Republicans' history, their lifestyle. And he said, you had this one, did such and such, and you did not even attach yourself to it, or you didn't even address it. He began to run down the whole Senate. And guess what? Yeah, they had to walk him out, try to anyway, because he was bringing the reveal. But my thing is, this self-righteous foolishness to me gets on my last nerve. Yes, everybody should mind their business because if I don't want to be married right now, that's my business, okay? If I don't want to date right now, that's my business. We have people in your family, and I told them just this Thursday, William, that because I'm not married, they put me in the gay category. You better go suck on an egg.
Well, that's just... That's illogical.
No, that's ignorant.
And frankly, exactly.
Yeah. Can I just be happy? Can right. I just be,
yeah.
Can I just be really getting things corrected in myself so I can be more beneficial for my team if he come? And if it got so see fit, I'm not looking, folks, okay? I like my atmosphere. I was talking to my daughter. I said, look, I like my peace around here because Lord knows I've been through enough hell, okay, in relationship and out of relationship. Does that turn me away from marriage? No, it does not. But I know the next time it better be right because I'm not going to go South Central because the thing is, stop laughing, William.
It is. She said she going South Central.
I said I don't want to go South Central.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking, I chuckled. I'm going to let it go in there. I chuckled. I said, you know what? You know what? I chuckled. I said, they must think I am a Rambo sister. Okay.
Yep.
Because did nobody ask you to respond? Okay. Must think I'm Rambo's sister because the ulterior resolve for me is capping, punch him in the throat. I will punch you in the throat. That is real.
See?
Okay. My thing, but don't raise your hands on me. Okay. No man should put his hands on a woman. I believe that.
I agree.
The hand you raise, you're coming back with a nub. It is what it is. Okay. So I'm going to put my disclaimer out there. But no, I just really believe that marriage is honorable. We got too many people shacking, too many people having babies after babies. The adoption and the child care is out of pocket. Children are going in the streets after 18 because the check stopped. The whole nine. It's just a gamut of things that is just a ricochet effect for people's ill behavior. No, you don't force no one to get married. But I do know that God says marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. That you cannot change in the word of God because people are trying to change that. They really are. God has a prerequisite for everybody and how he wants it one. That's why everybody's sleeping with everybody in the needle in the haystack. Whoever, what needle you pull out, that's who you shack with. These are orgies. Come on, let's just be real. Call it what it is. People, if we want to go deep, let's go deep with it. Because people don't want to have responsibility in a relationship, okay? They want to be come-sa, do whatever, and then I don't have to have a relationship with you. But you did have a relationship with them. And guess what? You took on what they are carrying, and guess what? You're going to be worse to the next person that you get to. That's my spiel on it.
Yeah, and let's clarify a few things. And as far as the going back to Tennessee, and those three people who spoke out with the bullhorns, now, and Mike, I agree, that was out of decorum. That's fine. However, the reason why they used bullhorns because the chair, which was 75, the whole Tennessee Senate is 75% Republican. They cut off their mics.
Yes, okay? They did.
They cut off their mics. So they says, okay, we're going to get the word out because, and then they pulled out the bullhorns. Now, was that out of order? Was it out of decorum? Of course it was. However, I tell you why I think it's necessary is because they wanted to get their word out. And if you notice up in the balcony, they had a bunch of protesters that were protesting against what the Tennessee Senate were doing. Now, what they brought out was also, why do you want to kick us out? Why do you want to sanction us out when you had one of your senators here that peed on another representative's chair?
That's what he was breaking down. He was breaking down.
Okay. Why do you want to sanction us when you've got another one? And speaking of the chair who just resigned, he was doing sexually explicit things against an intern. Okay.
Exactly.
So, but you want to talk to us because we want to talk about something that's killing our children. You want to silence us and you want to sanction us when all these other things, crazy things, that hurtful things are going on in this very Senate right now. That's why they pulled out the bullhorns, and I can't blame them for that. Again,
okay.
Back.
So, can I comment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, my comment would be this: I don't disagree with their message. I disagree with their delivery, and what I mean by that is what was happening to them, as you expressed, William, was wrong because they were being silenced in a forum where free speech should be, it should be allowed no matter what.
Right.
I don't care which side. I'm not a political guy. I don't like either side. But you can't start silencing people when they have a good message. So, but again, the delivery's the problem. And if you went into court and you had something that you wanted to say and they were silencing you in court and you brought in a bullhorn, how long would you last in a courtroom with a bullhorn?
Oh, yeah, the judge will probably hold the person doing that in contempt and arrest them. So, yeah, so I agree with
there's
that.
There's a proper way and place to go about the and address your grievances. What I'm saying, there must be something in Tennessee where these gentlemen can appropriately address their being silenced. And I don't think silence is good. I think sunshine's the best disinfectant. When you can allow everyone to have their say, then we all benefit from that. So again, it's not that I disagree with their message. I disagree with the way they went about it. And I'm pretty sure that there must be some way they could have addressed that rather than them grandstanding like that.
But I guess the thing is, yes, that you can call it grandstanding, you can call it being disorderly or whatever, the times warranted it. That's the point. Everybody's been trying to play by the rules this whole time, and things are only getting worse and worse and worse, and we're letting the loudmouth bullies run how this is going to happen. It's time out for that. It's time out for playing nice. I agree with them. It's just there's no way to keep trying to play by the rules, especially when they're changing the rules to benefit themselves the way that they are. So I get, under normal circumstances, yes. Let's follow the rules of decorum. Let's do everything decently and in order. It's just time out for that now.
Look at the Boston Tea Party. That wasn't by the rules, but they made their point. So yep. I do agree that sometimes you have to color outside the lines. I did it, not for personal gain, but in law enforcement, if I had to color outside the lines for the right reasons, I would, because I knew I was benefiting society and not benefiting Mike Ward. So I do agree with it, and I'm okay with coloring outside the lines. But damn, there must be some way to do it within the confines of their Senate or their.
Yeah, it could be, Mike. It could be. But now, if they won't allow them to speak, how can they do it within the confines? Now, they could have gone to the press. Oh boy, I bet you they'd be able to sanction also. They could have had a speech outside of that facility. But I guarantee they would, I can't guarantee, but chances are they would have been sanctioned and or kicked out anyway. So sometimes, like you said, Mike, sometimes we have to color outside the lines to get our point across. So yeah, I agree. We need to follow decorum. I understand that. But sometimes depend on the power to be will not allow you to exercise your rights within the decorum that's presented to you. And again, you look at the things that they did allow and they didn't sanction versus, we were talking about children dying, and this was only a few days out. And these two gentlemen and the woman, she was saying, look, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about gun laws. Now, Tennessee has some of the loosest gun restrictions in the whole entire nation. Now, you fact check me if you want. I've already done it. But fact check me, but Tennessee has some of the lax gun laws, and now they also, and the governor even came and says, look, we want red flag, well, we want to do something about red flag laws. Now, a lot of these lawmakers out here now, they don't even want red flag laws. Now, how much sense does that make? Let me tell you how much sense it doesn't make. So that means that, you know, I don't need to, I can be a criminal, I could be just out of prison. I could be, have been convicted of murder, robbery, whatever it is, using a deadly weapon. Yet, if you don't do a background check on me, I can slip through the cracks. I can also go to a gun show and buy without a background check. Come on, what's wrong with common sense gun laws? I mean, and even now, if you did a poll right now, which polls have been done, majority of gun owners, they want red flag laws. They want background checks. Okay? They don't want the next nut to have the same gun that they have, because they're there to protect whatever their life, their home, their properties, whatever it is, and they're not going out to shoot anyone. And let's say these are the same ones who own guns, right? But you have people out here that says, well, no background check, no red flag laws. We don't care if you are a psychopath. The last gentleman, guy who shot up those people in the bank, his last words, he wrote it down on how easy it is to get a gun if you have a mental problem. That's documented, folks.
It is. It's super easy to get a gun. You lived here in San Bernardino County. You know how easy you can go on the street and get a gun. It's true. And the problem is with the red flag laws, and again, I try to be doable and reasonable in all of this, is it lacks due process. So I can say William is a menace to society, drinking his juice in the hood, and all of a sudden his guns are taken away with no due process. And I'd like to hear your version of due process. So, but again, I'm all in favor of checking people out before they are allowed mm-hmm. to have a firearm. And I believe the NRA has that same stance. They want background checks. They don't want guns to fall into hands of wackos. But the problem lies with the ease of getting a gun, even for criminals. So if I'm buying a gun on Baseline Boulevard here in San Bernardino, who's doing the gun check? Who's doing my background check?
There aren't any. No, I agree with you. I agree with that, Mike. But what I'm saying is, let's say, for instance, we all five of us, none of us have guns, okay? But we want to own a gun because we want to protect our life. We want to protect our home. We want to protect our property. And we want to feel safer, okay? I understand that. So I have no problems with you checking out my background to find out if I'm a neck case, if I'm straight out of Patton State Hospital, okay? Now, the majority, and Dr. Demery and Mike and Dr. Sims, they know what Patton State Hospital is. That's a mental hospital.
I used to work there.
Okay.
You're criminally insane.
Now, let me ask you, Mike and Dr. Sims and Dr. Demery, would you be okay with someone coming straight out of Patton State and buying a gun with no background check at all?
Nope.
That's my point. That is my point.
They'll do it up on Highland Avenue or Baseline. They'll get a gun anyway.
Of course. That's
the thing, though.
That's the problem.
You can't do anything about criminal behavior. It's a saying where I'm from. You can take a thug out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the thug. Okay. So if what is inside this person at their core, yeah, is a desire or a penchant towards criminality, mm-hmm, there is nothing that you can do about that.
That's the issue.
That's going to be a thing that has to come from God. That change on the inside. What we're talking about is the fact that you have people who, whether they are insane or whether they are just radicalized extremists, who can order a gun legally, get a bunch of guns, get all this tactical gear and all this other stuff, and walk into a Walmart, walk into a church, walk into a school, mm-hmm, and kill up a bunch of people. That mm-hmm should not happen. And I, like, for instance, when you sent that article last week about people, you know, being able to live in areas that don't have any, they have very strict gun rules and not being able to get guns, but they still have issues. I don't know if you guys are living in an area like this, but I live in the South. So we still have some holdouts on prohibition. So there are literally dry counties where you cannot buy alcohol. Okay. But guess what? Right at the county line, as soon as you cross over, is a liquor store. Guess what we used to do in college? Cross the line, get some alcohol, go back home.
You found a way, didn't you?
We crossed the line, got what we needed. And that's my whole point about people being able to get what they need. Unless we do it across the board, unless we have gun laws that apply, you know, to every state the same way, you will have people who, okay, I can't get this gun in Michigan, let me just cross over into Illinois, or let me just cross over, you know, and drive down to Missouri. I,